North Korea continues to raise the stakes in its game of nuclear poker, or whatever it's called, maybe it's roulette, conducting a second nuclear test in as many days yesterday. Today, North Korea is threatening military strikes against South Korea if any of the North's ships are stopped and searched for weapons. South Korea had agreed to participate in such missions as part of an American-led effort at intercepting ships carrying weapons of mass destruction. Despite repeated condemnations by the so-called international community, most observers argue there's really only one player sitting at the table with North Korea, figuratively or literally. That's China, North Korea's neighbor, main trading partner, and probably the only one with the kind of leverage in the United Nations to actually make a difference to North Korea. Joining us now, once again, is John Pomfret, author of Chinese Lessons, Five Classmates in the Story of the New China. He writes the blog Pomfret's China on the Newsweek Washington Post website. He joins us from Bethesda, Maryland. John Pomfret, thanks for coming back to the program.
Hi, John. How are you?
Great. Let's talk about, first of all, how China is viewing what appears in American headlines to be an escalation by North Korea. Are they giving it the same significance as we're giving it here in the United States?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, it's playing pretty big in Chinese newspapers. So, yes, they're viewing it with some alarm.
And what sort of leverage does China have over North Korea? Yesterday, John Bolton on this program said the Chinese could end this tomorrow. First of all, do you believe that? And secondly, is that something that the Chinese sort of say publicly?
Yeah, the Chinese do have an enormous amount of leverage over North Korea if they wish to exercise it. The problem is that their interests in the Korean Peninsula are completely different, but quite different from those of the United States. Basically, the number one thing on China's list is they don't want North Korea to collapse. The number one thing on our list is we want the North Korean nukes to go away, and those are two very different interests.
Well, those divergent interests then would tend to argue with the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Susan Rice, who on ABC News said that the U.N. Security Council is united in condemning North Korea's actions. Listen to this, John.
And the message we're sending back is that the international community is united. North Korea is isolated. The international community will not be intimidated, and the pressure on North Korea will only increase if they continue on this course.
Of course, you're saying that the North Koreans know full well that China has very different interests than the rest of the international community, and are they exploiting that?
Definitely. I mean, the North Koreans understand that the Chinese government is basically completely behind the regime. I mean, they don't obviously want North Korea to do nuclear tests. They don't want the North Koreans to have a nuclear bomb. But if the cost of cutting out the North Korean nuclear program would be a collapse of North Korea, they'll let the North Koreans have the nukes.
Can I ask you a cynical question, John?
Sure.
It seems to me from a regional perspective, an argument can be made that the nuclear developments in North Korea, while alarming to China and South Korea to a certain extent, the fact that they're really alarming to Japan might be an indication that the Chinese and the South Koreans, who, you know, don't mind that the Japanese are terribly alarmed and annoyed, they might just let the Japanese get all worked up over this, and that they're not as likely to criticize North Korea in the same way that the Japanese do.
That's partially true. I think basically, but I think on this issue, China's interests are different than South Korea's interests. Basically, China doesn't want North Korea to collapse, because if North Korea collapsed, China's probably going to get about 2 million refugees in the Manchurian section of the country. China's also going to lose an enormous amount of South Korean investment, because all that South Korean investment is going to flow into North Korea. And thirdly, I mean, China is in the process of turning North Korea into a vassal state. Basically, you look at any North Korean mining operation, any substantial North Korean activity, and the Chinese have a piece of it. And if North Korea collapses, South Korea is going to take over that economic chunk. So China really its interests are different than South Korea's interests in this issue. Now, of course, they don't mind seeing the Japanese stew over there, you know, to their east, but their fundamental interest is that they have so much to gain from a continued existence of the Kim state in North Korea that they don't want to see that thing fall apart.
You're bringing up something, which is that China has become very aggressive in acquiring mineral rights all around the world, including in Africa. The relationship that you outline with North Korea begs a question to me, which is, do we have any idea of what North Korea's vision is for itself?
Well, I think North Korea's vision for itself is basically the continuation of the Kim dynasty, right? I mean, these guys just want to stay in power. And then, obviously, there's rumors about Kim's health. Is there a succession problem? Who knows? You know, if he goes, will his son take over? All open questions. And if his son doesn't take over, are we going to get some strange general that's going to run the show? I mean, these are enormously important and very good questions, but we just don't have an idea of what's happening over there internally.
Including the question of, are there any non-strange generals in North Korea? John Pomfret, you want to guess a next move on the part of China quickly before we go?
Yeah, the Chinese are going to, you know, hem and haw and say, we got to sit down and continue the six-party talks.
All right, John Pomfret, author of Chinese Lessons, Five Classmates, and the Story of the New China. He writes the Pomfret's China blog on the Newsweek Washington Post website. It's linked on our website as well. Thanks for joining us, John.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.